Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to this evening's council meeting for the Mesa City Council for Monday, July 2nd, 2012. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and it's an honor and privilege for me to conduct this meeting tonight. We'll begin tonight's meeting with an invocation by Pastor Dr. James E. Adams from the Cornerstone Church, after which we'll be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Vice Mayor Scott Summers. Please rise for the invocation and the pledge.
Our Father, we do bow in your presence, and we thank you for the city of Mesa, Arizona. What a privilege we have to live in this beautiful city, work together. We do pray for the prosperity of this city. We believe that you are the God who has blessed us with not only great resources and people working together, but we thank you that you have blessed us with a mission of even that of redeeming those things that are broken here in our city. We pray that you'd give wisdom to the city council and to all those who are involved. We thank you once again that we can bow in your presence and with the freedoms of this nation. And we give you thanks for those who have gone forth as military, risking their lives for our freedoms. We give you thanks once again for this great privilege that is ours, to live in the city of Mesa, Arizona. We ask now, Lord, for your blessing upon us and that wisdom from above, for we pray all these things in the name of the one who is the Messiah, the Lord Christ. Amen.
Amen. Would you please join me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. I believe Councilmember Dean Higgins has joined us by phone.
Councilmember Higgins? Good afternoon, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We always appreciate when others outside of our city recognize what a great group of employees we have in the city of Mesa and recognize their accomplishments and the things they're able to do. Last week, the Maricopa Association of Governments, or MAG as we know them, held their biannual MAG Desert Peaks Awards ceremonies. And these awards are held to recognize those cities and departments and individuals who have contributed to the region as a whole in ways that are commendable. And there's nominations and it's quite competitive because there's a lot of good stuff going on in our region. This year, the city of Mesa was very, very honored to have three specific awards that were given, of which in programs which we either initiated or we were certainly part of and have played a major role in bringing to pass. Tonight, we'd like to recognize individuals who are deeply involved in these three areas. The first one we'd like to recognize is the Mesa Fire Department, which received the Public Partnership Award for the Regional Emergency Transportation Service. We'd like to invite Chief Harry Beck up here to maybe give us a little bit of an explanation, Chief, as to specifically what this award was for and why you believe we were recognized.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the Council, yes, we're very pleased. The honor from MAG last week was very exciting. As you said, there was a lot of competition. Probably 3 years, almost a little more than 3 years ago, it was kind of a brainstorm amongst the fire chiefs here in the East Valley that we should have a system for ambulances that was as quick and as integrated and seamless as our automatic aid fire service was here in the East Valley. And so we sort of took on what we felt might be the impossible, which is to rally around four communities, obviously Mesa, Gilbert, Queen Creek, and Apache Junction, came together and said, why can't we do this? So with the leadership of the mayors and the city managers at the time, we couldn't have had a better collection, a better team. We pressed on. The concept was pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but it was challenging. First, the education component for the communities, as well as the elected officials and the city staffs. I needed to understand where we were coming from. And it fell together quite nicely. It was very challenging, however, when we went to the state to try to achieve a contract. Many people may not know, but the Department of Health Services approves ambulance contracts for communities. Without their approval, the company is not able to charge for their services and therefore essentially voids the contract. So it's a very challenging process. They hadn't seen anything like this in the state of Arizona before, with no other examples to draw information from. So we felt like we had an opportunity to do a first, and we certainly did. After quite some time of discussion and doing a lot of the what-ifs, we came together with Southwest Ambulance, who has been our service provider here in Mesa and in the East Valley for years and years. They stepped forward. We're very flexible with the opportunity to take part in this as well, and we are able to pull it off. And the end result is that we've shaved at least a minute to 2 minutes off of an ambulance response, where before, with the geographic boundaries of the cities essentially blocking ambulance transporting from one city to the ambulance response from one city to the next, the borders were dropped. Now we have a seamless system for ambulance response. And so in the past, when the firefighters were ready, had patients packaged for transport to the hospital, had to wait on an ambulance because of boundary disputes, if you will. And now that's seamless. The ambulance is usually there, hopefully a few minutes before we actually need to do the transport, so that when the time comes, it's a very smooth and seamless process. And we already know that we've saved lives in that process, because as you know, every minute counts. And if we pull into the emergency room 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 4 minutes earlier than we did previously with a heart patient, the chances of survival go up significantly. So, Mayor, with that, we're pretty excited about the recognition. Interestingly enough, a lot of other Valley cities are now looking to the East Valley as a possible model for something like this. We're actually having some other communities take a very close look at what we're doing and making some determination as whether they want to set up their own or maybe even join ours. So, Mayor, thank you for the opportunity for me to give a little bit of background and information on this program, and thanks for the recognition.
And thank you so very much. And this was, like you said, a long haul, but it was well worth it, and it seems to be working out really well. And I like what I hear when you say that others are looking at us, because we want to be a leader. We want to do things that are right so that we can be recognized as a leader. So thank you so very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Next, two regional partnership awards were given to our city prosecutor's office, one to the prosecutor's office and the victim services unit for the domestic violence protocol evaluation project. And John Eliason from the city prosecutor's office. John, you want to come up and explain exactly the program and why we were recognized?
This, Mayor, as you know, is something that we're really proud of. This actually got started, I'd say almost 2 years ago, maybe, under the leadership of MAG, but with John Pombier when he was here. But I just want to recognize, got a few of my prosecutors here, if you guys could stand up, please. This was an office effort. And what it was, as the documentation says, is over 320 different partners got together around the whole valley and said, look, how can we attack these domestic violence cases? What's the best way we can do that? And let's make a protocol or an example for departments to follow, not only really in just Arizona, not just Maricopa County, but really around the world. And the finished product is excellent. It really is. It really lays out from beginning to end the preferred ways to attack these kind of cases. And ends with a video going through the different steps of the process and things that happen. So I'm just super proud to be the city prosecutor and be able to accept this award and tell you about it, but mostly to work with such fine prosecutors here that have really turned over a fine product. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Congratulations. The other second regional partnership award went to the came to us because of our participation in the Regional Wireless Cooperative, or TOPAS, Regional Wireless Cooperative Joint Resolution. Boy, that's a mouthful. Mr. Alex Duszek, who is the manager of our technology and innovation. Alex, you want to explain what that mouthful really means?
Thank you, Mayor. We all got the same award, except the title on the bottom is different. So Harry's got one down here. I guess he left it down here. So. Everyone's got those. And I'd just like to thank MAG for the reward. And it is a team effort, truly, as John mentioned, and Harry. The award was given to Mesa's Wireless Cooperative, Topaz Regional Wireless Cooperative, and the other cooperative, the Regional Wireless Cooperative, which is centered around Phoenix. And in reality, we kind of briefed the Public Safety Committee today, and the thrust of the award is really this one-page document, and it's been published, and it really is the 10 points, a framework for the region to cooperate for our public safety and first responders in their radio networks and communications to make them safe, answer their business needs, provide for their business needs in a nonpartisan way that solves their needs first and goes past the politics of the government. And 10 bullet points is really that simple. It's all it took, but it took time to get there. And the team that put it together was really the chairs of our boards. And I want to give a special thanks to John Cross, our chair of our board, and the corresponding chair for the Phoenix board is Charlie Myers from Tempe. Susan Thorpe from Peoria is the vice chair, and I'm the vice chair for our side. So we spent time with our executive directors working on this plan. We brought it in front of the joint boards. We had a first ever joint board meeting where we had representation from every city in the cooperatives, probably over 35 members. And we voted on this joint board and joint resolution passed unanimously on January 26th. Now that in itself was an accomplishment, but this was a living working document. We didn't just write a piece of paper and then put it on a wall. So we've been doing things in the meantime. We've been executing this plan. We have got a joint grant with Department of Homeland Security to do a strategic plan to keep the networks running together and the systems running together and solve the business needs of the community, our public safety first responders. We met with DHS and we had a meeting where the users were there, the fire chiefs, police chiefs, our police chief, fire chief invested a day of their time just sitting there doing strategy and figuring out what they want from these systems to solve their business needs. And they committed that time, as did their peers around the city and the valley. So they were there all day. They committed to it. Out of that will come a strategic plan we will live with, execute, and work with. And we've already had partnerships with Department of Public Safety. City of Mason, Department of Public Safety, have built a new antenna on Thompson Peak. Jointly, Phoenix is going to be a partner on that. So this is just a living plan to take us forward in the future and partner for public safety around the valley. I really appreciate everyone's support that we got, especially from Dale Shaw, who's our executive director, who couldn't be here tonight.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks. Congratulations.
Like I said, it's really nice when we can celebrate our success because others recognize achievement in our departments and with our employees. So thank you so very much for putting the best foot forward and doing so in a way that others recognize you for excellence. We appreciate that. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Tonight, the consent agenda will be read in by Mr. Kevin Christopher. Kevin?
All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on contract to purchase replacement digital microwave radios and interfaces for the communications department. Funding is available in the communications budget through the 2008 public safety bonds. Item 3B, act on contract to purchase mainframe hardware, software, and services to upgrade the data storage platform for the information technology department. Item 3C, act on contract to purchase a supervisory control and data acquisition server infrastructure upgrade for the Energy and Water Resources Departments. Item 3D, act on contract to purchase software licenses for the police training simulator system, funding from a U.S. Department of Justice Community-Oriented Police Services grant. Item 3E, act on term contract for tires for warehouse inventory and fire and medical services. Item 3F, act on dollar limit increase for term contract for bulk methanol as requested by the Water Resources Department. Item 3G, Act on Contract for Northwest Water Reclamation Plant Monitor Well Number 1. Funding is available in the fiscal year 12-13 Wastewater Bond Capital Program. Item 3H, Act on Contract for a Video Wall Replacement of the Transportation Management Center. Funding is available in the fiscal year 12-13 Transportation Bond Capital Program. Item 3I, Act on Contract for Bridge Safety Rehabilitation. Funding is available in the fiscal year 12-13 Transportation Operating Budget. Item 3J, Act on Contract to Assign Delinquent Accounts to Collection Services for 3-month period ending March 31st, 2012. Item 4A, Act on Resolution authorizing City Manager to execute a use agreement with Mesa Urban Garden, an Arizona nonprofit corporation, for the use of city-owned property at 212 East 1st Avenue. Item 4B, Act on Resolution authorizing City Manager to execute an airport improvement program grant agreement with the FAA when such a grant becomes available for the design of a runway guard light system for the runways at Falcon Field Airport. Item 4C, Act and Resolution authorizing City Manager to execute a joint project agreement with the State of Arizona through ADOT for a pavement preservation project at Falcon Field Airport. The state will fund 90% of the cost. The city will pay for the remaining 10% with funds in the proposed fiscal year 12-13 Airport Capital Improvement Program budget. Item 4D, Act and Resolution authorizing City Manager to execute an agreement with Valley Metro Rail to fund the environmental assessment for transit options along Main Street between Mesa Drive and Gilbert Road. Funding is available through Maricopa Association of Governments Regional Allocation of Preventative Maintenance Funds. Item 4E, Act and Resolution to extinguish a 20-foot-wide public utilities and facilities easement in the 5,000 block of East Falcon Drive. Item 4F, Act on Resolution approving the assessment of property located at the northwest corner of Signal Butte and Elliott Roads for cost and expenses of street improvements. Item 4G, Act on Resolution ordering and calling a special bond election to be held in and for the City of Mesa, Maricopa County, Arizona, to be held in conjunction with the statewide general election on November 6, 2012, to submit to the qualified electors the question of authorizing the issuance and sale of general obligation bonds of the city. Item 5A, Introduction of Ordinance amending Title IX of the Mesa City Code, establishing public street lighting requirements for Desert Place at Morrison Ranch, located south of Guadalupe Road, west of Sossaman Road, and east of the East Maricopa Floodway. Item 6A, Act on Ordinance amending Sections 201-C and 201-D of the Mesa City Charter to allow City Council to set dates for the commencement of terms for the Mayor and Council. Item 6B, Act on Ordinance amending Section 203 of the Mesa City Charter to set the procedures for filling a vacancy in the Office of the Mayor and Council District Office. Item 6C, Act on Ordinance amending Section 605-A of the Mesa City Charter to require the City Manager to provide the 5-year capital program to the City Council prior to the beginning of each fiscal year. Item 6D, Act on Ordinance amending Section 701-A of the Mesa City Charter to allow City Council to set dates for City of Mesa elections. And Item 6E, Act on Ordinance amending Section 201-F of the Mesa City Charter to state that if less than 3 candidates file nominating petitions qualifying as candidates for the office of mayor or district council member, the primary election will be dispensed with for that office, and the candidates will appear on the ballot for the general election. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there any item a council member would like to remove from the consent agenda? We have a request from citizen to remove item 4G, that's for golf, from the consent agenda. So that will be acted upon separately. I have a motion from Councilmember Kavanaugh to approve the consent agenda, a second from the Vice Mayor. Is there any discussion? Please vote. Councilmember Higgins, how do you vote?
Yay.
Okay. The vote is 7 yays and no nays. And so the consent agenda is approved. Item 4G, ordering and calling a special bond election to be held in and for the City of Mesa, Maricopa County, to be held in conjunction with the statewide general election on November 6, 2012, to submit to the qualified electors the question of authorizing the issuance and sale of general obligation bonds of the city. We have one request to speak from Mr. Tom Schulke. Mr. Schulke. And before, I know you know the routine because you've been here. The clock doesn't seem to be working right. If you could... So do I. Well, I know it does now, but could you? We'll tell you when you have your time. There you go. Great. Thank you.
Tom Schulke, 7604 East Wolf Canyon Street. It has been reported that Mesa has not determined exactly what would be done with the Buckhorn Bass. Mesa residents deserve to see a plan for the property before they vote. Mesa residents should be told how much will be spent on renovations before they authorize funds to buy the property. It is too early to ask citizens to vote approved bonds to acquire this property. A few years ago, Mesa voters approved utility bonds. No voter could have guessed that savings from refinancing of utility bonds would have been diverted for economic development projects. I believe voters deserve assurances that savings from refinancing from these bonds will not be diverted for other uses. I ask you to include language prohibiting diversion of refunding savings for non-park-related uses, or better yet, requiring a reduction in property taxes. At the very least, the council should make clear to residents its policy with respect to using the savings from refinancing for this and all future bond issues. In 2010, Mayor Smith wrote in his arguments for Prop 420, Mesa's investment has been structured so there will be no increase in sales or property taxes. $7.25 million of the proposed bonds will fund a federal requirement related to the land for the Cubs Stadium. There will be a property tax associated with the Cubs Stadium if this measure passes. I would invite you to address whether Prop 420 promises are being broken. The 200 responses the Parks Department has received on the proposals works out to less than 0.1% of Mesa residents. This dismal response rate indicates possible lack of enthusiasm for the projects. Consider that at least one of the projects may be supported by only a small minority of Mesa residents. Would it not be unfortunate if such a project was built simply because it was part of a larger package presented on an all-or-none basis? I ask you to change the ballot to allow citizens to vote yes or no on groups of projects rather than the whole list. Grouping the projects into five areas as presented by staff would be expedient given your time constraints. Lumping many projects together, hoping for a majority vote, is a strategy often called pork politics. Citizens intuitively know decisions based on pork politics make them worse off. Hopefully you also recognize this fact. If you decide to keep this as one item, I ask for an explanation as to why you see an all-or-nothing vote as preferable to one which allows citizens to more accurately express their views. The property tax burden on businesses is being reduced via a gradual drop in assessment ratios. This was done under state law. This will result in increasing taxes for residential property. I ask that you modify Section 4 of the resolution to require that the election pamphlet to include information that will make it clear to residential property owners that the property tax levy for the bonds will likely rise over time. Such a disclosure should reduce future complaints when residential property taxes move higher. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Schulke. As it relates to the tax levies rising, Mr. Brady, why don't you explain quickly how we arrive at our estimates as far as the tax levy? In other words, averaging out over the projected life of the bond and taking into account projected changes, including the things that Mr.
Right. So we base off the current assessed valuation with some estimation of assessed valuation growth throughout, but we calculate based on what the actual dollar levy is, as opposed to that. That's the calculation we use. So we try to estimate based on what values are today and what we project they will be out over the next 20 years.
So there aren't any peaks and valleys
including
changes in the law that would affect commercial assessments and things like that. If those are factored in there,
we can only factor in what we know today.
Right.
So,
but if there's a law change that says beginning next year, this will change, we know that.
And those adjustments will happen between the rates between the residential and the commercial. That's just a given, because ultimately the entire levy will have to be equal to what is necessary to pay off the bonds. And one of the things we try to do with the bonds too is we try to create a level payment through the period of that time, also combining both the existing debt and the new debt. So we also have tried to avoid as much as possible any peaks and valleys in our debt service payments.
Okay.
Does that help?
I don't know, Schulke, does that help you? Because it explains that we try not to have surprises or have peaks and valleys in our payments. Councilman Richens.
Also, I know a little bit about the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Land and Water Conservation Fund is a federal fund that comes from royalties from the oil and gas offshore drilling, and that was where the funds that were used to acquire parts of River View Park. So there's not a tax increase associated with moving those designations. The federal government just requires a designation of similarly valued land to be covered by the money that you were given. And so that's not a tax increase, it's just a moving of designations. So there's really no tax associated with moving that designation. It's just a matter of calling it A today, and then we're calling B the same designation tomorrow. So it really has nothing to do with a tax increase. So I just couldn't let that stand. There's a lot of misinformation in your statement, and so that one I wanted to specifically address.
Now there is one issue, and I think I'll address it, Mr. Schilke, is that we have agreed beyond that, and this, the requirements were not, let me back up. The requirements included in what Councilmember Richin said have been taken care of. They've been satisfied. We have taken land that we owned, and we have designated those as replacement parkland. What we are proposing and what is included in these bond issue are further improvements that go beyond meeting the base requirement.
That's correct.
So there's no doubt that there are improvements in addition to meeting the requirements. So to get back to the question as far as was there a change from what was presented in the Cubs? No, because there was no tax increase required to satisfy the federal designation. Now that we have that land, and that land has set as open space for, in some cases, quite a while. We just designated that. What we've decided is to go in as part of an overall program and put additional non-required improvements to make those parcels of open space more valuable and more usable to the public, and that's the cost that we're including in the proposal. Is that accurate, Mr.?
The land that is being exchanged was land owned by the city.
Right.
So we changed value for value, and sometimes we had to get more acres and land that and other land that we're exchanging for.
Right. Value, not acreage.
Excuse me?
Value,
but sometimes because the value in the Riverview area was a higher per acre than it was in the land that we were exchanging for. So it wasn't necessarily acre for acre, it's value for value. There is no specific requirement as far as the actual programming that needs to take place on those parcels that are now designated as park. So we had anticipated doing some minimal amount of park improvements, but that was built into our current capital improvement. Certainly what's happened now is feedback from the community. Many of those parcels, some of those parcels are getting additional amenities above and beyond what would be required of us. And I think it's fair to say that that is the element that certainly would be included in the Parks Bond program. But again, we're talking about some parcels, as the mayor, I think, mentioned, that have been vacant and have not been really available for the use of the public for many years. And by exchanging this land and now dedicating it as park, one, we've been able to do, we could do the minimal improvements for park, but the bond package will actually allow us to bring in significant amenities that have been of great interest by the community, as expressed very favorably through the IMESA program, identifying those areas where they wanted even more than the minimum standard that we may have considered to make the exchange work.
Yeah, and I think that Ms. Schilke actually raises a fair question, because it's some, I think, that the newspaper raised before. The question was, did we have this overhang liability that relates to the federal exchange? And the question, and the answer is no, we did not.
Well, and Mayor, let's be clear. The majority of those commitments were made prior to the Cubs coming.
No, I know.
We had made those commitments because of our obligations under the previous development.
The Wave Yard.
And so we'd already made those commitments. So
And we satisfied those.
But those
I think the
been
question
committed.
Is, was there a requirement for millions of dollars to satisfy those requirements?
No.
And the answer is no, there
that
was
is
not.
That's correct. There was not.
All we had to do was trade property value for property value, and we did that by designating property that the city already owned. Now, after satisfying that, we have chosen, based on feedback from the community, to add additional amenities to property that has already served to satisfy the requirements. So I think it's a fair question that Mr. Schilke raises, and I think that that's
the answer. Yeah, and I think we should address one other thing. I don't recall in our last public safety bond or our last transportation bond breaking out individual projects into individual questions on the bond. You just don't do that. You do a intersection project on the west side, you do it on the east side, you program that with the whole thing. It's not pork barrel politics to say that you're doing a road improvement on the east side and one on the west side in order to get everybody. It's based on what the city needs, as actually through a community-driven process, the community has identified these projects. It's not like, you know, we're trying to satisfy a bunch of council members up here. I'd never heard that concept to break something out in that fashion before. It just doesn't seem like it makes sense.
No, Mayor and Council, I've never seen it done before. You create a very inefficient process, and I think we do make it very clear in the information the voters will see that while we've identified some of the projects that allows us to spend it, in this case, it will only be spent on parks programs. You can't go outside of that category. When we did the public safety bond program, initially we believed that we were only going to be doing two fire stations. However, as a result of both cost savings and additional grant dollars, we actually doubled the number of fire stations. So
was it true in the transportation program as well?
Every city does it. That's how and your bond council advise you to do that, because otherwise we would be stuck in many cases a lot of unspent dollars in projects possibly. Sometimes we have a project that may need additional dollars, and because of savings and other projects, we're able to complete it. But we do try to keep it in the categories. There's very specific rules, so we keep it within parks, we keep it within public safety, we'll keep it within utility. So we do keep it within those categories and abide by those restrictions.
And I think the question I would make is that this is a community investment plan. And I can understand, and I hear this request before, why don't you let us vote on each individual project? You know, we put out these projects because we got feedback from the community, but this is an overall community investment plan. And I would certainly not like the opposite of pork projects, which is a section of the community getting together and saying, gee, we don't like this in another section, so we're going to vote that down so we can have ours, and they don't have theirs. I mean, we make investment in the entire community. We build an entire community, and I think the council always has the option to present this as they have, and the council has decided, based on what we've gone through in our study sessions, to include this as a single proposal. The citizens of Mesa certainly have their right to judge whether this is a proposal that benefits the city and whether it's something that they would like to invest in. This is the ultimate in democratic process where citizens get to decide the kind of investment they're making in their community. And the reality is, when you live in a big city, investments in all parts of the community are necessary to keep the entire community healthy, and we're all together. I mean, sometimes because of timing, you get more investment on the east side, sometimes on the west side, sometimes on the south side, but the fact is that based on our community feedback, we have investments that are in most parts of the city, not every part, but most parts, and I think that benefit the entire city. We have one thing else. Ms. Schulke, I'll let you respond or ask one more question for a minute or so. What you
I
got?
Just wanted to clarify for Councilmember Richens. I was not asking you to break out each project. I was suggesting that, you know, when they did the presentation, they identified five groups.
Right.
And there were, I think, three or four projects typically in each group. But I'm just saying, why not use those groups? And that way, if people want to show support for a group, they can show support for a group. If they say, gee whiz, there's one project in here I don't like, I would like to vote against that, they can. And there might be some people who say, I'm going to vote against the whole thing because there's one project I don't like.
Yeah, and that's not what I implied with you either. I said groups of projects. I knew what you meant.
Okay,
the police station and a fire station and a shooting range and all the things that were on our last public safety bond, we're not going to break those out. It creates inefficiencies that way. I'm sorry.
And I understand what you're saying. And we have had that discussion and decided to go in this route, so thank you so very much. We have one person who wishes to express her support but does not wish to speak, and that's Ms. Kay Henry. And then we also have one request to speak, Mr. Mark Schofield. One more, Mr. Schofield. And Mr. Schofield has served as chairman of the IMESA committee.
Mr. Mayor and council members, appreciate a few minutes here. I can understand concerns from citizens in regard to any bond issue that comes up, because it is a commitment by the city and backed by various either taxing measures or through various grants from the federal government or other funding areas. The IMESA steering committee went through quite a process of getting feedback from the community and having several meetings throughout MESA for this feedback and input, not feedback, I should say, input on ideas that would be good for the community. And this that we see today is a result of those meetings, along with working with the city council, the city staff, the various areas, including parks and recreation, to come up with these ideas and to finalize them. It was mentioned that Buckhorn Baths is one that is still being looked at and the project being worked on. And I leave that to the city council to be able to finalize that and the city staff with what they're doing. I am concerned about any idea of dividing out any projects where they could be voted on individually. And the reason for that is I have seen that happen in other cities. And what happens is you get, as was mentioned, and I really could have said amen when I got up here originally because you've covered pretty much everything. But I've seen where certain areas of a city will kind of combine against another area and vote against things that one area desperately needs. So by doing this as a package, it gives the flexibility to the city council and the city staff to be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished as a whole. But once again, all these ideas came from the community, and not just one or two people. Like Buckhorn Baths was our number one vote getter for IMESA transformational project. So all these ideas bubbled up from the community, from the citizens. And as the city council has stated and the mayor, they now will have the opportunity to vote on this as a whole and to provide a great future for MESA and the quality of life in building a better MESA. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schofield. I have a motion to approve item 4G from the vice mayor, a second from council member Kavanaugh. Is there any further discussion? Okay, please vote. Councilmember Higgins, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
The vote is 7 ayes and no nays, and the motion carries unanimously. And I thank the IMESA committee, city staff, and everyone for their work to date. There's no doubt that there are those who will look at this, and they should look at this. This is, as I said, this is the ultimate investment that a citizen can make, is the investment and the decision to decide to tax themselves for the betterment of their community. And this truly is an investment. If we're going to create a great city, you have to continue to invest in your city. And we did not take this lightly. We take this very seriously, and we recognize that we should not be investing in things that aren't that won't return a greater return and benefit to the community than the payment that's being made. The ultimate decision will be up to the citizens of MESA. And I'm confident that we'll, prior to November 6th, I believe the election day is, we'll be able to present the information, answer any questions, and hopefully we'll have a healthy debate, not only about this bond issue, but really about the future of our city and whether our city is worth investing in. This council, by unanimous vote, believes the answer is yes. So, Mr. Schofield, to you and your committee, thank you. Mr. Hirschberg, to the Parks and Rec, and for other staff for all the work they've done in really listening to our citizens and coming up with a plan that is citizen-driven. I appreciate it, and I speak on behalf of the council in saying thank you. Thank you very much. Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests to speak from the public?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay. I have a motion adjourned from the Vice Mayor, second Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.